Let's welcome Mufti Saab on the 6th of Jumad al-Ula 1446. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, barakallahu feekum. How are you doing?
So, alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khairan for joining us today. How's Mufti Saab doing?
Allah is karam, Allah is mercy. Maulana Saab, Jazakumullah for the opportunity. Allah is so kind. Every day Allah gives us another opportunity of life, another opportunity to serve Him, another opportunity to improve and increase in our akhirah. Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Mufti Saab, where are you off to today for?
InshaAllah, we're coming towards your side, Johannesburg, the North Cliff side, inshaAllah.
Probably you'll need to move this side, inshaAllah.
Allah accept us. Allah accept
Mufti Saab is more this side than Newcastle.
Even the intention we should have, even if we're speaking, and this is also for our listeners, if we speak to one person too, our intention should be the whole humanity. Because it doesn't mean sometimes, you know, we teaching a few or speaking out or reaching out to a few that it confines there. But the intention is, mashallah, the whole world, Allah will make that effect, inshallah. Mm. I'm remembering an amazing dream that was seen about Haji Abdul Wahhab, rahmatullah alayhi. Few ulama saw him, that he was presenting his Iman Yaqeen talk in Raiwind, and the rays of that discussion, the rays was reaching the four corners of the world. Hmm. And it was interpreted to mean that he's not only speaking to the congregation of Raiwind, he was actually addressing the whole world, and it was the whole world. Hmm. So he even used to say, tell the people of America, we don't want your wealth and your position and your status and all of that. We want hidayat for you. We Allah. Want salvation for you. Tell the people of Britain. Tell the people of Europe. Tell the people of China. We want salvation for you. We want hidayat for you. And I'll never forget his statement we heard in 2006. A few times he repeated it. He said, Da'i jis raaste pe jayega, Allah ta'ala ke zikr ke saath, ummat ke fikr ke saath, Allah ta'ala batil ke atharat ko torega. A da'i, wherever he travels, with the zikr of Allah ta'ala and with the niyat of the hidayat of the ummat, Allah ta'ala will eradicate the effect of the forces of batil. Just going there with that intention, Allah ta'ala will put so much of khair there. And so much of this has been seen where certain areas, new musallas come about, new masjids come about, certain wilderness areas, banjar ilaqas as we hear it. And we find that years prior, the paddle jamaat passed there, they stayed there, they put up their tent there, they put up their make the workshop toilet there, and they made qurbani there, did ta'aleen there. Hmm. And that nuraniyat, Allah Ta'ala doesn't let it go to waste. Alhamdulillah. That's why stopping at different places, and for travelers, this is very suitable. At the time of prayer, stop and make salah. Whether it's the garage, whether it's on the side of the road, choose a safe area, inshallah, and call the adhan in a beautiful manner. And adhan is so beautiful. Our Hazrat Mufti Saab explained so beautifully the meaning of the adhan. Why the four takbirs in the adhan? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Four takbirs. What is the intent? That Allah, your kibriyai, your grandeur, your might, your glory, this message of your greatness must be taken to the four corners of the world. Oh my Allah, everyone must hear about you. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Twice. Tawheed. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Twice. Risalat. So Tawheed and Risalat. The message of Tawheed and Risalat must be taken to the four corners of the world. So four denotes every nick and corner of the world. Then we call humanity to Salah. Hayya ala Salah. Hayya ala Salah. Through Salah, the whole of Deen will come alive. That's why our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's culminating words as he was departing from this transitory world, he said, "A Salah, O my Ummah, God, preserve your Salah. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ And guard and fulfill the rights of your subordinates. Those who Allah has made you their superior." So imagine the statement encompasses every aspect of deen. Salah, when we fulfill our salah, Allah will make all the other حُقُوقُ become easy for us to fulfill. And when we guard the rights of those under us, then it becomes easy to guard and fulfill rights of our peers and our seniors and our elders. So obviously, when we guard the rights of those who are under us, where we won't be questioned in the dunya, and we're conscious of Allah concerning that, then huququl ibad becomes easy. So even just while we're mentioning Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's departing words, one of these words was As-salah wa ma'amalakat imanukum. Another amazing advice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as you know, as Abu Bakr was made the imam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in his home, he was telling Sahaba, Ajizul wafda bimithli ma kuntu ujizuhum. When delegations used to come to Medina, you all saw how I used to treat them, how I used to care for them. I want you all to do the same. And then he said, send Hazrat Usama out in Allah's way, in battle, in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And today's discussion will link to Hazrat Usama's discussion because it has some historic reality to it. We'll come back to it, inshallah. But send Anfidhu Jaisha Usama. Hazrat Usama's men should be sent in the path of Allah. And Hazrat Usama was sent to the borders of the Roman Empire to strive in Allah Ta'ala's way. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam noticed some people objected. But Usama is young, maybe naive, is that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I know some of you are objecting. And some of you did object when I appointed and designated his father Zayd as the Amir also. Really, Zayd was worthy and Usama is worthy as well. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Inshallah, just now our discussion will link to this and hopefully our listeners will be with us concerning that discussion. Coming back to this, we were mentioning those who are among Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's departing words. And imagine Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in a worry when Jibreel alayhi salam came to him. He was worried. Ajiduni ya Jibreel mahmuman. Wa ajiduni ya Jibreel makruban. I mean, worry. Scholars write under this hadith. Why was the worry of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? It was his worry for humanity. His worry for his ummah. His worry for his ummah. My respected ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But interestingly, Hazrat Abu Bakr led 17 salats from Isha on Thursday. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Maghrib salah and led it. Wal mursalati urfa was what he recited in the salah. And then from Isha, Hazrat Abu Bakr led right till Fajr on Monday morning. But that Fajr on Monday morning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed the curtain and looked out. And subhanallah, subhanallah. Sahaba, Hazrat Anas says, we almost were in fitna, meaning we almost broke our salah in that joy because we were peeping with the corner of our eye. Is Allah's Nabi to come? Is he coming out? Sahaba were elated. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked and he smiled. Allah showed him that your ummah is carrying on. Sahaba described him. We saw him. He looked like the radiance of the Mus'haf. Waraq. But the Mus'haf, like the page of the Mus'haf, that's how Nabi Sallallahu was the Quran. He was the Quran. Quran was revealed to him. He looked like a radiant Mus'haf. Subhanallah. Allah give us all tawfiq to practice Quran, to learn the message of Quran, to share the message of Quran with humanity in totality. And hadith, the Sunnah Mubarakah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we were saying, when we're traveling, stop on the side of the road, call the adhan. If we see people passing, greet politely. If there's an opportunity, explain the meaning of the adhan. Don't hide the adhan from people, but don't disturb them also. So be wise as a Muslim, not too far, not too close. And when there's an opportunity, tell them, no, don't worry, we won't get disturbed, you all carry on. We're just doing our prayer, and don't worry, we'll pray for you as well. Don't worry, our Creator who made us is one and the same being. One musalla because it was under renovation near a block of flats. So there were these children playing there. After the adhan, we explained to the children what the adhan meant and then we prayed. So the children, I requested them, did you all carry on playing? They said, no, uncle, can we pray with you? They were 6-7 years old, boys and girls running around there, small children. I said, of course. So they also tried to do some ruku, sujood. After that, we did some dhikrullah with them and just told them a few beautiful basic practices of Islam, why we eat with the right hand, how Allah is one. Simple. And this elderly couple were listening. After a little while, the elderly auntie, she would have been about 70, she gets up and she slowly walks towards me. So I get up out of respect and I say, Ma, how can I help you? She says, see, and I must tell you that I've been hearing this call from my childhood. But whenever people would call this call, I would always react and say, oh, there they go for themselves again. But this is the first time I actually realize what you all are saying. And it is so profound and so beautiful. That was an opening Allah gave, and alhamdulillah, gave us some literature on Islam in the Afrikaans language, alhamdulillah. So when traveling, let's remember, respected Ummah, our destination, our purpose is to make Allah happy. So the dua we read is, Subhanallah, this is the ayah of the Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, because we are travelers in this world. So this ayah of travel comes in the Quran, the dua of travel comes in the Quran, in Surah Zukhruf. And the ayah is, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hana wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Allah, my Allah is perfect. Subhan, Allah is perfect. The car is not perfect. The plane is not perfect. The beautiful ship is not perfect. The train is not perfect. Allah alone is perfect. Subhan, Allah alone is free from every blemish. Alladhi sakhara lana hadha. Allah, you made this conveyance available to us. You made it subservient to us. You enabled us to ride this conveyance, the car, the camel, the horse. Allah, you made it available to us. Sakhara lana hadha. Wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin. Ya Allah, we have no authority over this. So, we you and I think we're going to Joburg, or we're going to Newcastle, or we're going to Durban, or we're going for Umrah, we're going here and there, we're going to town, we're going home. Subhanallah, there's an amazing ayah in Surah Yasin. Allah Ta'ala says, oh my banda, walau nasha latamasna ala ayunihim. Allah says, oh my banda, if I wanted, I could have taken away the intellect I gave you. I would have taken away your mind. I could transform you where you were. I could transform you into something else. And oh my banda, if I take away that ability from you, that ability that I gave you, فَمَسْتَطَاعُهُ مُضِيًّا, you won't even be able to go further and proceed towards your destination. Leave that. A person will be going, he'll forget where he's going. Okay, sometimes it happens to some of us, especially when we become of advanced age. But remember, when we connect to Quran and we recite Quran abundantly, then inshallah, Allah will keep our minds fresh and strong. وَلَا يَرْجِعُونَ. And Allah Ta'ala says, oh my banda, leave carrying on towards your destination. If Allah doesn't allow us, we won't even be able to remember where we came from. We won't even be able to remember our road and our route home. That's how much we are in need of our Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this travel is a ni'mah of Allah, and we have to be conscious of Allah, and it's an opportunity to share the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Like mashallah, now the police stops us. So just now when we finish the call, we will speak to them about Islam. Alhamdulillah, what an opportunity. When will we get a chance to reach one ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? One person to tell them who Allah is, who Almighty God is, one Allah, la ilaha illallah. Every one of us, respected ummah, whether you are a doctor, a lawyer, a physician, an entrepreneur, a businessman, a trader, the mayor, the prime minister, you meet different people. Remember, you are an ambassador of this deen. So portray the deen of Allah with akhlaq and with da'wat. Allah has told us both in the Quran. We have to show akhlaq to humanity and not usurp the rights of people. Never do anyone down. That is huququl ibad. And give them their haqq. What is their haqq? Their haqq is also to hear the message of Islam. So Allah give us that tawfiq. My respected ummah, Allah reward you, Maulana, for that opportunity. I wanted to discuss one amazing event in this month. Is there anything else, or should we continue with that discussion, Hazrat Maulana?
Gee, we can continue with that discussion, inshallah.
Okay, so that discussion is linked to what we said on the departure of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was departing from this world, and we wanted to send Hazrat Usama out. Now, something interesting, Hazrat Usama was of dark skin. Now, remember, every color of skin is beautiful. Allah made it. We have to appreciate every person, irrespective of color, race, nationality. And that's what our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught, literally when he said it, and practically when he portrayed it and he showed it. So here has Usama, whose mother came from Abyssinia, and his skin was beautiful like his mother. She was elderly, but the skin of Abyssinia, of Africa, how beautiful. Every color is beautiful. Alhamdulillah, Allah's Nabi made him Amir. But who was his father? Hazrat Zaid. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Sahaba in this month. It was the 8th year after Hijrah, Jumada al-Ula, corresponding to August 629 in the Gregorian calendar. And in this occasion, what happened here was, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prepared Sahaba to go, because the Romans were planning an attack upon Medina Munawwara. Because there were hypocrites in Medina, a few, who were working with them, who were trying to prepare a center for them, the Romans, and they were sending information to them. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's wisdom, before they would make their move, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would already be reaching their border. Generally, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Sahaba out in Allah's way, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would send Sahaba radiallahu anhu out in Allah's way, it would be called a sariya, a platoon. But if he personally went himself, it would be called a ghazwa. This time the beloved of Allah did not go, but it is called ghazwatu mu'ta. And Sahaba went in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And what caused this also was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent a letter to the ruler of Busra. And that ruler's name was Shurahbil Ghassani, Shurahbil bin Amr Ghassani. The Sahabi who went to deliver Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's epistle was Harith bin Umayr Azdi, radiallahu anhu. When the Sahabi went there and he went to give dawat to this ruler was an Arab, but he ruled under the Roman Emperor. So he ruled the Christian Arabs. What did this ruler do? He was very upset that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's message is reaching far and wide. He did what was taboo at the time. And this was even an ancient rule that you were not allowed. Up to today, you cannot harm the emissary of another king. You can't harm a messenger, whatever the message he came with. But what this man did was, he assassinated this great Sahabi, Harith, radiallahu anhu. And this was the most abominable crime, today as well as at that time. This actually meant an ultimatum of war. Anyway, this was very difficult for Rasulullah s.a.w. to bear, that his Sahabi, Hazrat Harith, was killed in this manner. And he prepared Sahaba radiallahu anhum, 3,000 got ready. This was the largest army prepared the serpents. Anyway, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appointed Hazrat Zaid, his beloved, subhanAllah. Hazrat Zaid was his slave in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's youth. Hazrat Khadija gifted him to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved Zaid. And then Zaid's father finally found him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam liberated Zaid. But Zaid had an opportunity to go with his father. But he said, never, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you're more than a father and an uncle to me. I will stay with you. So Hazrat Zaid embraced Islam. And later his brother Jabala, radiallahu anhu, also embraced Islam. Zaid was very close to Rasulullah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually adopted him. He was known as Zaid bin Muhammad. But then the ruling of Islam came much years later in the Medinan stage. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam adopted him prior to prophethood. But in the Medinan stage, during the Battle of Khandaq, around that time, and that was the time where the chapter Surah Al-Ahzab was revealed, where Allah Ta'ala tells us and presents this teaching that every person's lineage has to be preserved. You cannot change your name, nor can you free yourself from your father. The father Allah gave you, you have to appreciate that. It's a crime abominable and unacceptable for one to wipe out his lineage or not to want to affiliate himself to whom Allah made him from. So that's why Zaid was then referred to again as Zaid bin Haritha. But he was hurt by it because for so many years he was known as Zaid bin Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah honored him with another honor and accolade, where Allah Ta'ala mentions him by name in Surah Al-Ahzab. Because he was saddened, but he couldn't be called Zaid bin Muhammad anymore. So he is that Sahabi whose name, Hazrat Abu Bakr, is mentioned by his title in the Quran. And the Sahaba are mentioned in the Quran, are referred to in the Quran-i-Kareem. But Hazrat Zaid is mentioned by name. The Sahaba are mentioned by quality, except that Abu Bakr, because Abu Bakr's quality is specific and specifically mentioned. But all the Sahaba are mentioned by their qualities, radiallahu anhum. And Allah announces that Allah has promised every one of them, every Sahabi, Jannah, wa kullu wa'ada Allahul husna. But here, Hazrat Zayd, now he's mentioned in the Quran, literally, my name. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرَى زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. Anyway, in this, so Hazrat Zayd is sent as the Amir. And after Hazrat Zayd, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells them, if Zayd falls, then it is Hazrat Ja'far. And if Hazrat Ja'far falls, the Amir is Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the Sahaba traveled in the path of Allah ta'ala, subhanAllah. He was a youngster with Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha on the same conveyance. And as Abdullah bin Rawaha was making dua for shahadat, so that youngster was crying. So Abdullah says, don't worry. Inshallah, if I go, you'll come back on this conveyance, but it will be the greatest honor for me, my son. As Abdullah bin Rawaha grew up that child, that's why he was crying. As Abdullah bin Rawaha is making such a dua. And the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum were bidded farewell. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them a white banner. And he said to them, go to the place where Hazrat Harith was made shaheed and give dawah to all the people there. You know? And then, if not, they don't want to accept the truth. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam guided them that how you will fight the Romans and so forth and so forth. The Sahaba carried on in Allah Ta'ala's way. When they got to that area, they got news that the Roman army are coming in multitudes. Hirakal is camped at Ma'ab near Balqaq. The whole Shami, Syrian region was Roman colonized area. The Romans were 100,000. Then the Christian Arabs, Lakhan, Judam, Balqin, Bahram, Bali, all tried accumulated. Sahaba numbering 3. Sahaba were shocked. Now they're sitting for Mashura. Should we go back? Should we continue? Subhanallah. And then Sahaba, they said, do you know what? We never fought with numbers. It was the help of Allah Ta'ala always that what helped us. And then Sahaba said, oh my friends, إِنَّ الَّذِي تَكْرَهُونَ لَلَّذِي خَرَجْتُمْ تَطْلُبُونَ. What you worrying now? What you worrying for? What you fearing? What you trying to escape? Is actually your actual objective and purpose. And the Sahabi Abdullah bin Rawaha motivated them. And everyone said, yes, yes. It's one of the two beautiful things. Victory or martyrdom in Allah Ta'ala's way. And subhanAllah, the Sahaba continued their journey. And they get to their point where they camp. SubhanAllah. And they strove in Allah Ta'ala's way. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, in the coming week, we'll discuss more details of this expedition. That how 3,000 overcame 200,000. Logically impossible. But these were not men of this world. These were men whose mamla was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this expedition took place in Mu'tah. In Mu'tah. And also inshallah we'll discuss why was this expedition referred to as Ghazwa and not as Sariya, like the other platoons where Sahaba radiallahu anhum participated in. Another point I would love you to note, take note of, is subhanAllah, throughout the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want you to see what Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali in his seerah, about how and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and so forth. In the entire seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you cannot find more deaths on either side, the Muslim and the non-Muslim, more than 1,018 in that entire time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just World War I and World War II alone, how many? 6 million year and then 60 million in World War II. So many people lost their lives and so forth and so forth. That's why when we look into the facts, we see the life of Rahma lil Alameen to be really amazing. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to share this beautiful deen, the beautiful seerah of our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the entire world. It's a Jumu'ah day. Let's spend our time in durood. Let's make ghusl. It's sunnah. Let's go early to the masjid. Let's talk to people about deen. Let's recite Suratul Kahf, Suratul Dukhan. Let's show ihsan on people. Let's try and take new brothers to the masjid. Even non-Muslims, your friend, your colleague, your associate, your customer, your client, your patient, your specialist. Offer him. Give him a call if you can't meet him. Tell him, sir, I know you for so many years. I'm going for Jumu'ah today. Why don't you join me? And then after that, we'll go for a lunch. Oh, you'll get so happy. And alhamdulillah, you take him and you could be the means of that individual getting hidayah, inshallah. What an investment it is for us in the akhirah if we fulfill this beautiful work of Anbiya alayhimu min Allah. والتسليمات يا ربي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said the closest to me on judgment day are those who send most durood upon me. Abdullah bin Mas'ud report. So let's send lots of durood. The greatest ibadah on a Friday is salutations, to send salutations to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Such a Nabi of Allah that he said even the previous umam, they wish to be part and parcel of my ummah. Allah made us from his ummah. Let's appreciate it. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Jazakumullah khairan for the opportunity.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahib, for that beautiful message. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wassalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. From us, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.